There are many reasons in the scriptures to believe that the Great Commission will not be completed without suffering. Hold your place in 1 Peter chapter 4 and turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And look at verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Jesus said this to his followers when he spoke about the future. And he said, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Think about this just for a moment. We are to make disciples of all the nations. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All nations were to take the gospel to these nations. And some people in those nations will receive the gospel with joy. And some people in those nations will hate us for the sake of Jesus. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Colossae here. He's talking about his service for others in the name of Christ. Look what he says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. He says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." And so God's purpose then is that the afflictions of Jesus that purchased our salvation be imitated and demonstrated by the followers of Jesus when they serve others. Paul was an example of that. It's what he says here in this verse. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says this to Timothy as the gospel was moving through Asia. He says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And so the Apostle Paul made it clear that sharing the gospel will bring suffering and difficulty. Now, of course, there are many other statements, many, many statements we could go to in the Word of God this morning. Statements that would show that we should expect suffering if we are a part of advancing God's purpose of taking the gospel to the world. See, we have to be clear about this. That when we share the gospel and when we take the gospel and we take the Word of God to others, it will not be received by all. Amen. As a matter of fact, it will be rejected. And there will be a response of perhaps hatred, enmity against those who share the gospel. And Jesus reminded his followers, his disciples, that they will hate you, but they hate me. In other words, they hate Jesus. And that response of hatred goes toward those who bear the message of Jesus. So we think about this truth that suffering will take place for the advancement of the gospel. And folks, let's be reminded that that suffering can take place in our homes.
Amen.
Amen. And it can take place thousands of miles away in another country, in another culture. So this is why that the Apostle Peter writes this letter. These believers were suffering. And they were suffering primarily because they were believers. They were living righteously. They were taking the gospel to those people around them. And its main purpose, as Peter writes this book, its main purpose is to help Christians endure suffering and to choose suffering over sin and safety and silence. In our text today, 1 Peter chapter 4, it's been a few weeks since we've looked at 1 Peter. We are committed to working our way through this book. It's a wonderful book, full of encouragement to believers. In our text today, Peter then will encourage us to choose suffering for the sake of the gospel. You see, we may be tempted because of these truths to know that suffering will come to those who share the gospel. We may be tempted to step back from that. I don't want the suffering. I don't want the difficulty. I don't want the hardship that comes with the gospel. And therefore, Peter writes to encourage us. He's encouraging believers then. He's encouraging believers now. The main point in this text we see in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." We must be ready. We must be prepared. We must be equipped to suffer for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the gospel, if God should will it. See, Peter's made that statement several times in this letter. If God wills it. So what I want you to notice this morning is that Peter gives us five ways that we can arm ourselves. Five ways that we can prepare ourselves or be ready for the suffering that may come into our lives for the sake of the gospel. So let's look now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. How can we arm ourselves? What is our armor for suffering? I want you to notice that the first piece of our armor is this, that Christ suffered. Christ suffered. Look at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind." Our first encouragement. This is how Peter encourages us, these believers, us today. Our first encouragement to choose suffering, if necessary, is that Christ did it. Jesus did it. And it didn't merely happen to him. He chose it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." Jesus chose suffering. Listen to this statement by a pastor who spent 14 years in a Romanian prison for sharing the gospel. He said, "I have accepted this proposal. Christians are meant to have the same vocation as their king. We are cross bearers. It is this conscience of a high calling and of partnership with Jesus which brings gladness in tribulations, which makes Christians enter prisons for their faith with the joy of a bridegroom entering the bridal room." He says, "I have accepted this proposal." Moves us to step back and think about our relationship with Jesus and what it means when we say, "I will follow Him. I will be His disciple." See, I think that we think about a lot of things, but yet there's one thing that we have difficulty thinking about, that when we join ourselves with Jesus, remember the road He walked, remember the life He lived, remember the cross He carried, remember the suffering He experienced, remember the death He died, Jesus says to us, "Follow me. Follow me." Now, I don't expect statements like that from Jesus to fill a church building.
Amen.
But what I do expect and what I look to and what I rejoice in is the same that God rejoices in, that it will fill the lives of people and it will change the lives of people. Because that, folks, is true Christianity. Amen. That's following Jesus. So this then is the centerpiece of our armor, that Jesus, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, the savior of the world, the sinless God-man, chose suffering as his vocation and called us to take up our cross and follow him. And so one of our purposes is to suffer like him. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Peter's talking to believers here, and he's telling them, he's speaking to them about suffering for the sake of righteousness and how to respond to that. And then verse 21, familiar verse, but very clear, we need the reminder. He says, "For to this you were called." It's our calling. "For to this you were called, called to suffer for the sake of righteousness." And why? Peter says, "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." And so we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to suffer for the sake of righteousness. This is our calling. This is our vocation. And so don't be surprised when it happens. Don't be shocked when it happens. Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And so the first piece of this armor, the first way that we arm ourselves is this, that Jesus suffered. Yes. Jesus suffered. Notice the second piece of our armor, 1 Peter chapter 4. The second piece of our armor is this, that suffering will help us make a clean break with sin. Suffering will help us make a clean break with sin. Peter says in verse 1, he says, "Arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Now I believe that Peter is saying here that if you trust God enough to suffer for doing what is right, then you have made a decisive break with sin. You see, God is so valuable and Christ is so worthy that sin is no longer appealing to us. And when we're faced then with suffering and we're faced with this choice, will I share the gospel? Will I tell others about Jesus? Yet I may suffer for that. Then we choose the suffering. We choose the righteousness. We choose to share the gospel regardless of the consequences. And folks, when we come to that point in our lives that we are willing to make a choice to suffer for righteousness and for God and for Jesus Christ, something amazing is taking place in our lives. We are killing sin. And we're putting aside sin and we're laying aside sin because there is something now in our lives that is greater and more valuable and higher in our priorities than what we want or what sin would pull us to do. And we're even willing to suffer for that. Another way to say it is this: choose suffering, because if you don't, you will choose sin. Yes. But if you do choose suffering, you will prove that your bondage to sin has been broken. So get this thought, get this purpose in your mind this morning, that Christ is worth suffering for. And Christ is worth living out that conviction, his worthiness, his value, when the choice comes between suffering and sin. And when you suffer for the sake of Jesus, then sin will be defeated and death and you will be triumphant. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. doesn't mean that we're sinless, but it means that we're breaking with sin. We're putting sin aside. And by our choice, through the grace of God, sin will no longer be the ruler in our life. Look at verse 2, because Peter describes this break in verse 2. He says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And so when you suffer for what is right, it's a sign that you have renounced sinful human desires and you have embraced the will of God as the highest value. And therefore, for the sake of righteousness and freedom from sin, Peter says, arm yourselves with this truth, that when you choose to suffer for Christ and for righteousness, you are killing sin. You are putting sin to death. Now, for a moment, let me bring this down to where we live. Let me make an application this morning. You see, we have to arm ourselves and fight this fight against sin and self every day. We mentioned this last week as we stood before you. This morning in our Faith 3 group, really speaking about the same truth. Every day we have to fight this. Every hour we fight this. This is a continual battle in our lives. We are no longer controlled by sin, but sin is present within us, and therefore we must fight it. And folks, that means that the small battles every day in our lives are actually pretty big. The small battles are big. Because if we can't say no to sin, and if we can't kill sin, and if we can't spend time in prayer, if we can't read and study and memorize the Word of God, if we can't be here when the church meets together for teaching and worship and fellowship and prayer, if we can't do this now when there is no pressure and no heat and no stress from outside, if we can't do that now, then what in the world are we going to do when the pressure comes? And the heat comes. And the persecution comes. You see, the second piece of our armor is this. This suffering will help us make a clean break with sin. There's a third piece. A third way that we arm ourselves. Any amount of past sinning is enough. So there's a connection here. In this statement by Peter, any amount of past sinning is enough. Look at verse 3. He says, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." You know, this is a clear and simple statement by Peter. What he's saying is this, that the time already passed in our lives in sin is enough. It's enough. Don't do more. You've given enough to sin. And so arm yourself with this thought that any amount of past sinning is enough. And if you've sinned a little before you were converted, that's enough. And if you sinned a lot for many years before you were saved, it was enough. Because you can never sin so little that you can say, I need more time to sin. And you can never sin so much that you can say, I need a little more sin. Peter says, arm yourself with this thought. The time that you've spent sinning is sufficient. So make the break. Choose the will of God. And suffer if you must. But choose God. Choose Him. Follow Jesus. Now look at verse 4, because I think that the suffering Peter has in mind we see in that verse. He says, in regard to these who are sinning, these who are living this ungodly way, this unholy way. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So there it is. This is the suffering I believe that Peter has in mind, speaking evil of you. They slander you. They mock you. They make fun of you. And folks, it's better to embrace that kind of suffering like Jesus did, if it's God's will, than to choose sin. Because the time that we've spent sinning, whatever it is enough. It's enough. And so the third piece of this armor, the third way that we arm ourselves is this: we've sinned enough. That's past. It's enough. Don't give in to more sin. Notice now a fourth piece, a fourth way that we can arm ourselves. Your adversaries will be brought to justice. Look at verse 5. Peter says, "And they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." So when you suffer for the sake of righteousness, you don't need to resort to sinful vengeance. You know, this is a temptation, isn't it? That when you live righteously, or when you share the gospel, when you're doing the will of God by sharing the grace of God with others, and you suffer for that, hardship comes into your life, people mock you and make fun of you and do things against you. See, it's very tempting to get back at them. It's very tempting to get revenge. And it may be revenge through words, it may be revenge through actions, but it's very tempting to try to either protect ourselves or to get back at those who would cause us to suffer. And yet Peter's reminding us here that we don't need to resort to sinful vengeance. We don't need to have the last word or the last point or the last stand, because God stands ready to settle all accounts. And He will do it, folks, far better than we will. See, this is a great temptation. We want to cry out when people make us suffer or bring suffering into our lives. We want to cry out that this is not right, and this is unfair, and this is unjust, and we want to call them into account. Now, you know, there are times when it's right to call people into account. I mean, parents must do it to disobedient children. Policemen must do it to law-breaking citizens. Employers must do it to slacking workers. Church leaders must do it when they warn and admonish church members. But when you suffer for righteousness' sake, Peter's reminding us here that God's will is not that you do the calling into account, that you hand it over to the one who judges righteously and justly. And Peter makes it clear here. He says, they will give an account to Him. And when we hand it over to God, folks, we have the full assurance that justice will be done. That nothing will be swept under the rug of the universe. Nothing will be forgotten. And the judge will be God. And let's not even think that death might rescue a person from judgment, because Peter says here that God is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so death is no escape from judgment. As a matter of fact, death is the doorway to judgment. And man might forget the evil deeds of others, and man might forget the repentance that is necessary, and death might come even after a long and comfortable life in sin. But then comes the judgment. A judgment before the all-righteous, all-knowing, all-remembering God. And so if you think in the midst of your suffering for righteousness that someone is getting away with causing you to suffer, then leave it in the hands of God, because He will judge the living and the dead. And it's better to suffer for doing right and leave the judgment with God. The fourth piece of this armor, your adversaries will be brought to justice. The fifth piece of armor, the fifth way that we arm ourselves is this. We will have victory over death. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 is a little difficult. Peter says, "For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." The difficulty comes when people look at this and they say, well, this must mean that people after they die have a second chance, because the gospel is preached to those who are dead. And so that's the way that they look at that. But I believe what Peter's saying is this. For the purpose of saving people from this judgment by God that he had just mentioned, the gospel was preached then to those who were dead. In other words, they are dead now, but they weren't dead when the gospel was preached to them. They were alive when the gospel was preached to them, but now they're dead. So that they are judged in the flesh as men, that they might live in the Spirit according to the will of God. Now I think probably what was happening was that the enemies of Christians were saying something like this. They were saying, you say that you have such good news. You say that you will escape judgment. You say that your God is great and He saves you and He gives you joy. Well, we say to you Christians that you're missing lots of fun in life and you're going to die just like everyone else. And so if you die and we die, then what's the difference? Eat and drink and be merry and live the way that you want and do what you want and be what you want. And Peter's response against this evil speaking and this slander is this. That the gospel was not preached to your dead Christian friends in vain. Now it looks like that they've been judged by death just like everyone else, but they haven't, because they are alive in the Spirit and they are with the Lord. And the sufferings that they experienced here are not worthy to be compared to the glory that has been revealed to them, and they are alive to God and with God forever. Amen. You see, folks, there's the difference. And what a difference it is. The fifth piece of armor, the fifth way that Peter tells us to arm ourselves is this. We have victory over death. Amen. And even if that's suffering for the gospel, and even if that's suffering for righteousness would bring our death, there is victory in death. Because we will be with the Father. We will be with the Son forever. And so the word from the Lord for us today, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, is this. Arm yourselves with the purpose to suffer for the sake of righteousness if it is the will of God. Be ready for it. Be prepared for it. And the armor or the equipment that God gives us for this purpose is this. First of all, Christ suffered and we must follow Him. Second, when we suffer, we're making a clean break with sin. Third, any amount of past sinning is sufficient. It's enough. Fourth, the enemies of Jesus and His followers will be brought to justice before a righteous, holy God. And fifth, we who embrace the gospel will be victorious in death. And so, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And wherever He leads, and whatever happens, and whatever the cost, follow Jesus. Let's pray.